Charlie's theater playing's real relaxed, and it ain't too hard to work, is it, Charlie?
No, it's not too hard.
Done harder things.
Yeah. Come on, play with Joe Clark.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good old tune. I like that.
Let's keep going here for a little while.
Well, yeah, okay.
Why don't you? I'm gonna tune this banjo up back here. I like to play.
Do that. You got it,
with Charlie. Sometime.
Yeah.
Charlie, won't you tell them that hunting story before we go on while I'm tuning up?
Well, I'll do that then. Well, one time when I was a young man, of course. Now, when I was a young man, they wouldn't know no cottage guns much. They was all old muzzle loaders. You poured the powder in the muzzle and put the bullet down, you know, and then get ready to shoot that way, you know. So I went out of hunting that way, and I saw 7 crows sitting on a limb. I didn't know how I could get all them crows in one shot, so I decided maybe I'd just shoot and let the bullet hit the limb and bust it and close back up right quick and catch their toes. So I did, you know, and caught their toes, and I had them crows, and I had to climb that tree and cut the limb down and get it, you know, and the limb went over the river, and I had to get in there to get that limb out. While I was in there, there's a big bass fish got up my bridge leg. Well, I had a twine string in my pocket, and I tied the bottom of my bridge leg, you know, to keep that bass in there. And I had on pants that had galluses on them. Some people might call them suspenders, and had buttons on the bridge there. And so that fish got so heavy as I got out of the water, you know, it pulled one of them buttons off my britches, and a big rabbit sitting over on the bank in the grass, and that button flew over and hit that rabbit in the head and killed it. So I come out, I had all 7 of them crows, and that bass, and that big rabbit all at one shot. Yes, you know.
Charlie's brother plays the banjo.
I've got a brother that plays the banjo. He lives in Bristol. We get together and play that just once in a while, not too often, maybe every 2 or 3 months. I've got a boy that lives in
Baltimore.
Yeah, I couldn't say it. Baltimore, he picks the banjo, don't he? We get together about twice a year, maybe.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, we don't get together too often, you know, but he was on some... We made a record. I made a record about a year ago, an album, you know. And of course, he was on that with me, son. My boy was.
Yeah, this is a June Apple recording.
And Tom Bledsoe, too.
Yeah, I was in the way there. We had an opportunity to do a record of Charlie through East Tennessee State's Appalachian Affairs Department down there. So we went into a studio and recorded some of it, did some of it at home. And there's some available down at the Augusta Books, down at the store. And we also have some, it's records, and we also have some cassette tapes and a booklet that goes with it. I wanted to include one, but it's not actually a booklet. It folds out into a big poster, so it's got a lot of information on the songs and a lot of the words that Charlie knows to the songs, but sometimes the songs were too in a bad key for him to sing. So rather than do something that didn't sound right, we just got copy the words down that Charlie knew. Let's see if we do Nancy Ann. This is one.
Yeah.
Get along home, yeah. Miss Nancy. hard to play somebody else's banjo, you know? I said it's hard to play somebody else's banjo.
Yeah, that's somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's a nice banjo. Let's see. How about Sugar in the Gourd?
Yeah,
I like that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Sugar in the gourd?
Yeah, what's that mean, sugar in the gourd?
She might put
these.
You're not telling me.
I don't know. I guess they used to keep the sugar in the gourd, don't you guess?
Yeah, they sure did.
Did they?
Yeah, the sugar in the gourd, yeah. Yeah, sugar in the gourd.
Yeah. Oh, just, what's that, Charlie?
They used to keep the sugar in the gourd. And then people used to keep the salt in the gourd. And people used to have a gourd at the spring to drink out of. Well, they kept it in the water bucket, too, a gourd. Yeah.
You have.
I wonder if he might be playing in Dusty Miller.
Dusty Miller. Do you know Dusty Miller, Charlie?
I don't believe you.
I never heard him play it, but sometimes. Every once in a while it comes.
That's sort of like Sugar in the Gourd, ain't there?
Oh, it's a lot of different.
I'm not sure I've heard a couple
or of like before. Sugar in the Lake. Yeah, sort of like that, or like turkey in the straw.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Charlie started out playing the banjo, and like I say, he's left-handed, so he turned it over like this and played.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, that's
really
yeah. Funny.
Did you pick it, or did you?
Clawhammer. Y'all get up and dance?
I know. Mine's heavy, but I guess it could be worth that.
Let's see. We're in a hay there. What else can we get? La butter.
Tuck over hand.
That's a good one, yeah.
Brown's Dream, right?
Yeah, we don't know that cackling hen. That's Brown's Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty unusual tune. I don't know what, maybe y'all might know another name for it. It's called Old Aunt Katie, There's a Bug on Me. And it's got a mystery chord in it somewhere. I'm putting out a lot of money for somebody that learns the mystery chord.
Yeah?
Because I don't know what it is. Anybody got any questions?
What is I wonder it? If it might, do you play any old waltzes?
No, I don't. I don't waltz. Play any waltz.
Not a lot of waltzes down around the home.
They're, no, they're not.
Old-time fiddle players just didn't, they hardly ever played waltzes.
No, they never.
Beechard, you know, Beechard Smith, he never played a waltz.
No.
Couldn't play one. You know, I think some of the bluegrass fiddle players, as they came along, they played some. Yeah, but there wasn't much waltzing down
there. No, there wasn't. No.
Let's see. Now, a hornpipe. Charlie came up with this one here a while back, and it's a version of what Ricky's hornpipe.
You want to try that?
Yeah, let's try it.
I don't play it any much. You know, I don't play it much.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's it.
Started playing Sweet 16, I think. I never heard him play that before.
Yeah. I used to play that, but I've not practiced it for years and years, you know, I just played time.
It still sounded good. Huh? It still sounded good.
Yes, it is.
He did that tricky, you know, he just went from one note.
Let's browse him up just a
little bit. Yeah, that, it does need some rolls, man. Yeah. That's right.
I'll hold your fiddle if you want.
Yeah.
Sure, I never heard
Well, is it just what, about a month ago?
Yeah, one time.
Ricketts.
For him.
And did you know you started off on another tune there at the beginning of that and there? One call, I thought it was Sweet 16 or what is it? Too Young to Marry, yeah. And I never heard him play that neither. Charlie and I've been playing music for about 12 years pretty regularly, you know, maybe, I don't know, sometimes, it used to be about two or three times a week, and then it got to be two or three times a month.
Yeah.
Now it's, we get together a couple
times. Two or three months.
Yeah, sometimes two or three months in between. But Charlie always plays, and he gets his fiddle out, and he opens it up and sets it down.
Yeah,
on the
I do.
Couch,
I do.
Lets it air out.
I don't.
But he's not.
Playing. Don't play none much, you know. Just let it air out. Try to take care of the fiddle.
Yeah. He had another fiddle that burned in the fire about what?
14 years ago.
14 years ago. That everybody talked about was one of the finest fiddles around. And this is a Sears Roebuck fiddle. Right, Charlie?
Yeah, that's where I got
ordered it.
Oh, from Sears Roebuck.
And that thing has changed shades, about gone three shades darker since I've been listening to you play it.
Yeah.
So.
Sears Roebuck fiddle, when?
Well, 13 years ago.
Yeah, 14 to be. 14
years ago, yeah.
I don't really have any now or not. They didn't use
it. It's a Strad copy. Maybe 1713.
Huh? Okay.
It's 1713, but that's when, I guess that's when the factory started, I guess.
Started that time. Yeah.
But this is probably pretty, a little bit newer than that.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah. But that's let's see here. Let's get Cumberland Gap. I like
oh, yeah. Yeah, let's try that.
Well.
No place like home for a married man. sort of funny. Maybe it might cause somebody to laugh. I don't know. Have a little place that I call my home. There's no place like home. And I have a little wife, she's a plague on my life. There's no place like home. When you come in, it's hard for my hard day's work. 6 or 7 kids greet you with their faces black as dirt. And leave half the supper on the bosom of my shirt. There's no place like home. When the baby cries out in the middle of the night, there's no place like home. You sit statue without any light, there's no place like home. Make a step on the point of an upturned tack, come a sliding down the stairs on the middle of your back, and your wife will holler out, oh, hurry up, Jack, there's no place like home. Man is going with a pretty little girl, he talks just as gentle as a dove. Spends his money and he calls her honey, for sure he's bought in love. Scroll-side baby on each knee and a wife with a plaster on her nose. You find true love don't run so smooth when you wear your second-handed clothes. Boys keep waving the girls, I say, and give them lots of room. For you'll find when you wait, they'll bang it till you're dead with the ball headed into the broom. Home, home, sweet home, with your wife's cold feet in the middle of your back, there's no place like home.
Well, I wish you'd sing another one while you're there in the mood, Charlie. It's without the fiddle.
Is
that the
cat
song?
Oh, yeah, the cat.
Oh, yeah, the cat song.
Yeah.
Oh, you cat lovers. Well,
yeah. Well, one time, old Mr. Johnson, he had some troubles of his own. He had an old yellow cat that wouldn't stay away from home. Oh, Mr. Johnson had some troubles of his own. He had an old yellow cat that wouldn't stay away from home, Lord, Lord. Well, he gave a little boy a greenback dollar note to take him down the river in the little open boat, Lord, Lord. And he got a little rock that would weigh about a pound. The bottom fell out and the poor boy drowned, Lord, Lord. Well, he thought he was a goner, but the cat come back, cause he couldn't stay away. Well, he gave him to a man, and the man's name was Jim. Took him to the mountain, and he hung him to a limb, Lord, Lord. That very same night, or the very next day, tree was cut for a coon, and the cat got away, Lord, Lord. Well, he thought he was a goner, but the cat come back, cause he couldn't stay away. One night they had some company up in the kitchen yard. Someone throwed a boot, Jackie throwed it awful hard, Lord, Lord. Well, the moon is shining bright, and it raised an awful fright. Along come a brickbat, it knocked him out of sight, poor cat. Well, he thought he was a goner, but the cat come back, cause he couldn't stay away. Well, old cat, it's old cat, I'll kill you out tonight. He loaded up his gun with nails and dynamite, Lord, Lord. And he walked on the corner till the cat come around. One but 3 little pieces of the old man found, Lord, Lord. Well, he thought he was a goner, but the cat come back, cause he couldn't stay away.
Where'd you hear that song, Charlie?
I believe Jack Isaacs. There used to be a fellow in our neighborhood called Jack Isaacs. He used to sing that.
He was a banjo player.
Banjo, picked on a banjo, so. Yeah.
There's a, that's a, now the other one, No Place Like Home from the Merry Man, you said you learned from an old record, a recording that you,
Yeah, I did. It's some old recording of a record way years ago. I don't know who put it out now.
Or a cylinder or something. I know the Tobacco Tags did a song similar to that many years ago.
Yeah, sure. I learned that now from some old record on an old wind-up.
Yeah. Let's do it. Charlie, you got an interesting way of doing John Henry, and I know you may, if you feel like doing it a little bit, I sure would like to. year.
Well, that's one I ain't played it, tried to in a long, long time. I tried to.
Yeah.
You tried it. Let's play Sally.
Let me get my bag.
All right, yeah.
Let me get this
Sally.
Yeah,
like
okay, yeah, why don't you take the fluff on that thing, Mr. Kirby? I know. This is Rich Kirby.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
He's a...
Are we ready? They're not ready.
We're ready, I reckon, right, Charlie.
Thank you. Okay. Well, tell me your name again.
My name's Dayton House.
Where are you from?
Buckhannon.
Did you grow up in Buckhannon?
No, I grew up in the southern part of Upshur County, same county that Buckhannon's located in. It's about 20 miles, I suppose, from Buckhannon.
Was there a lot of music in your family as you were growing up?
My father played the fiddle. That's about it.
He made fiddles, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did he learn how to make fiddles, do you know?
Just by looking at an instrument and copying it. Same way, more or less, that I did.
Were the fiddles that he looked at and copied, were they kind of made in an old-time way, or were they fiddles that came from outside of the area somehow?
I really don't know. I think they probably were factory instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Probably came from Sears and Roebuck in 1910 or somewhere along in there.
What kind of wood did he use to make them?
We use spruce for the tops and maple for the backs.
Could he get all that around here?
My dad, now, he would make them out of anything that he
That was my question, yeah. What would he use? He would use local wood, right?
Mm-hmm. I do, too, but I tend to stick to strictly spruce and maple, whereas he would make them out of whatever suited him.
How would you describe, how are they different from a fiddle, let's say, that you would make?
My
dad's? Your dad's fiddles.
He does it strictly as a whittling project, whereas I do it as the end result I want is good music from it. And my father is a whittler. He not only...
But he's a fiddler too, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He just loves... He can't wait to finish one. He doesn't have the patience that I have. He's very anxious to finish the instrument so he can play it. Me, I'll spend a year before I get it finished. Around 400 hours work. We don't make them the same methods at all.
Do you use any methods that he does? Do you have any methods in common with him? For any particular
the instruments,
parts?
The instruments itself, it's common. They are in common.
So his is the same shape with F-holes and all that, right?
That's pretty well standard.
Because I've seen some fiddles that, let's say, more mountain or more a little bit more primitively made, that will be shaped a little bit differently.
Now, he's done a few of those. He doesn't have a set pattern. He may make one a little larger than I would, but it's still in the general shape of the fiddle. He may carve a bear's head on the scroll, where the scroll is supposed to be. Or if he gets it too thin somewhere, he may carve out a bird and glue it to the back. He's very good. He would be a real hit over here, but he couldn't stay over here all day.
Yeah.
Too much for him.
Yeah. How many hours would you say he puts in working during the day, let's say?
Oh,
does he work every day on it, or not really?
Nah, he'll make an instrument in a week's time. I don't see how he does it, but he does.
Right.
And he's a hard worker.
Who plays his fiddles, or who buys his fiddles?
He gives a lot of them away. His children and people, he'll sell them for a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. Do you have any here? Did you bring any with you of his?
No, not of my dad's.
Not of your dad's. It'd be nice to compare them and see what yours are like as opposed to what his are like. Well, tell me, just describe briefly what you're teaching here in coming here for the day.
What I did today?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the idea was to give these students all the help that I could give them in taking care of their own instruments, so they wouldn't have to carry them to people like me for repairs, simple repairs. And how to care for the bows, keep them clean, how to get the best sound out of their instruments. In other words, everything that I could give them about setting up, fine-tuning, for instance, like you would an automobile or something, to get the best out of the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they took their notes and everything, and many of them will be able to make their minor repairs, I hope. And then this afternoon, I showed them how to hair a bow, which it's It's a difficult thing to teach. It took me several years to learn it, so you just can't teach it. But you can show what goes on. And if anybody's interested, then they could pursue it further, of course.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn how to hair a bow? Did you
just
learn from another?
Learned myself. Taught myself.
You taught yourself?
I taught myself to make the violins, taught myself to...
Where did you get guidance or pointers or...
I didn't.
Or you didn't
at all? I had some books, and it's the trial and error. It's just like who taught the Wright brothers to fly, you know.
Right.
I ruined a lot of pieces of wood. I ruined a lot of bow hair. And as far as the guidance and the pointers, now people would come in and I'd ask them to criticize, especially violins from orchestras, for instance, mm-hmm. and tell me just what they didn't like. College professor, Dr. Agee over at Weston, he's mm-hmm. a typical tough college professor, you know, that's very critical. And if you can meet his approval, you're all right.
You've worked with people in orchestras and people who are violinists as opposed to fiddlers, right?
Oh, no, both.
And you've also worked with old-time fiddle players, and you probably worked with bluegrass fiddlers, right?
Yes, they all visit and play, and it's most of my instruments are better liked by the violinists, though.
That's my question.
They sure do. I have a hard time making a bluegrass fiddle.
What's the difference?
For one thing, they're easier to play. You can't...
fiddle is easier to play, you mean?
Yes. The strings are easier to play on. The way the bridge is set, it's easier to note. They're a little mm-hmm. flatter.
Right.
And they're generally... The instruments are not so loud and responsive mm-hmm. to where that you notice the mistakes. Now, a really good orchestra violin, a fiddler won't like it at all because it doesn't sound right to him. And
what do you do to create that difference in sound other than flattening the bridge?
Well, I make the instruments for violins first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make them specifically for the bluegrass or the country fiddlers. Every now and then one will sound right for them, but not too often. You need a very loud instrument for orchestra players
mm-hmm.
and soloists.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it's a totally different style.
I'm aware of the style, but what I'm not aware of is what technically is done to a fiddle to create that difference.
I'm not either, I'll be honest. I don't know, that's what I said a while ago. I don't know how to make a bluegrass fiddle. To set out to make a fiddle that would suit me, what little bit of fiddling I do.
Mm-hmm.
My fiddles don't necessarily please me. Some of them are so hard to play, but yet they're easy for a trained violinist.
To play. Mm-hmm.
But a country fiddler, they have trouble like me, even some of these fellows. Now, Woody Simmons seems to be able to play them all. Part of it is in the strings. The violinists, like the cat, got strings, and they're difficult to play on unless you're trained on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, these fiddle players, we can all learn if we was taught that way, it's just that we weren't taught.
Right.
But that sound, the bluegrass sound, I can't describe it. I don't know how. I don't know that anybody does. You just know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
And
you don't really know that, because, yeah, okay.
How to build that bluegrass fiddle, I don't know. Every now and then I'll work on one and maybe regraduate the inside of it, and it comes mm-hmm. out sounding like what a bluegrass player likes, or a country fiddler. I've got one now. But I didn't make it. I just took some wood out of the inside and regraduated.
Mm-hmm. If you grew up with music that was more just country fiddle playing, how did you get started working with preparing and repairing and building classical violins?
Well, I exhibited at art and craft shows here in West Virginia, and it so happened that some of the classical players came by and saw the instruments. Plus, the college professors teach that. I don't know what they do here at B&E, but at Wesleyan, Dr. Agee was the classical music teacher. And that's where I got a lot of guidance. Mm-hmm. Of course, now the books teach you to make a classical instrument. Really, there's no difference between them. It's just that you get that sound that's a little bit different, and right. The fiddle right. is the same. The fiddle's a fiddle.
It's interesting, though, that you ended up wanting to work on building classical violins as opposed to wanting to serve the community of people around here who play old-time fiddle.
The thing of it is, this sounds might sound strange, I suppose. I put about 400 hours work in, quite a bit of money. And these folks around here, me included, we can't afford to pay what I have to ask for those.
I know.
It has to be for people who are earning their living strictly.
Mm-hmm. So it's partly the economics of it that determines what you
yes.
do, right?
I make them for the people who are really in the market. Mm-hmm. One of my instruments I sold to a fiddle player here. She's a sort of violinist too. She came in second last year in this Forest Festival thing, playing at one of my instruments. She's a violinist, but she still plays a fiddle music. Mm-hmm. Not bluegrass, but waltzes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So she likes it, but now a lot of these other folks, they wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that peculiar bluegrass quality. Mm-hmm. It's like Bill Monroe's voice, or Mike Wiseman, or it wouldn't go very good at some of the other songs, you see. It's that type of quality. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Do the people in Buckhannon or the people in Upshur County in general, are they comfortable with the work that you do with you? Do they still respect the work that you do and think that it's, do they think that you've kind of moved up in the world and you're serving a better people?
No.
Is there any resentment at all on their part toward you
good grief,
in the
I
community?
Hope not. As far as I know, there isn't. I'm sort of I don't go out much. Uh-huh. I'm sort of a loner. But when I do, the first thing everybody asks me is, how's Jake? That's my dog, of course. And that shows you what kind of fella I am. And I never think about what the question you just asked uh-huh. never crossed my mind.
Well, that's great.
I don't particularly, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, because something I've run into is just in being with people who may not have had any official musical training, if they find out that you have had a little bit of it, they'll tend to really defer to you because they respect that training as opposed to really believing in their own styles as being just as valid and just as important.
See, I've had no music training, mm-hmm. except what little you get as a grade school student, you know. And I've learned what I've learned by trial and error, by using what common sense I have, and by reading, mm-hmm. and by getting opinions from people who know, and from listening. Every instrument I make, I learn something, and I try to incorporate that, what I've learned, in the next one. I build them to suit myself, not somebody else. I don't build them to for classical people, players, or country players either. I build the instrument to suit myself, precisely the way I want. Then if it appeals to somebody, fine. If it doesn't, I keep it.
How many fiddles do you have?
I've made 14. I've got, I think, four of mine now. Three or four.
Are you able to support yourself by doing that?
No, good grief, no.
I think so.
I don't. I retired from the Air Force, which isn't much. it's sort of laughable sometimes, but I don't need much. Mm-hmm. I bought my home, so now I just don't need much. I don't care a whole lot about money as long as I've got enough to live on.
That's
but
great.
I do plan to try to to make it a little bit more of a going concern by selling to students, you know, the retail business, which mm-hmm. I'm in too.
So how much would you sell one of the fiddles that you build for?
Well, I've got one in there that's about $2,000, and an earlier one that sounds very good, but I accidentally put a few marks in the finish of it after I completed it. And it's not as pretty or a beautiful an instrument as the other. It's about $1,000, and I've got one at home that's about $2,500. It's a very nice instrument. I have a picture of it in there I can show you.
Okay. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.